As has been mentioned, particularly by Arlene, with prayers for Don, that Don is another pulpit ministry in Tyndall this morning, so I'm stepping in for him. And so for our scripture reading this morning, first of all, Raymond is back from vacation, and so we are back in the Gospel of John, chapter 5. And so we'll pick up with verse 18, and I'll read through the end of the chapter. Here we see that Jesus came in the Father's name. He is, as he defines himself, the Son of God and the Son of Man. We hear it in Jesus' own words in this reading. So I read from John 5, verses 18 to 47, which is the end of the chapter. This was why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him, because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his Father, making himself equal with God. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Truly, truly, I say to you, an hour is coming and is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for an hour is coming when all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. You sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Not that the testimony that I receive is from man, but I say these things so that you may be saved. He was a burning and shining lamp, and you were willing to rejoice for a while in his light. But the testimony that I have is greater than that of John, for the works that the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I am doing, bear witness about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself borne witness about me. His voice you have never heard, his form you have never seen, and you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life, and it is they that bear witness about me. Yet you refuse to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive glory from people, but I know that you do not have the love of God within you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you will receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? These are the very words of Jesus from God's inspired word. May we take them to heart as we prepare to hear the message for this morning that's titled, Like Father, Like Son.
We'll go on a journey this morning into probably some of the deepest scripture that if you took a month of Sundays, we will still not understand. Jesus is revealing himself. In fact, he is being revealed. The Father is revealing Jesus Christ here to us. Who is this man? When you come along this morning, I'm going to ask that you not leave your problems behind. In fact, I'm going to ask that you bring them along. When we walked in here this morning and prayed this morning, we prayed because somebody passed away. We prayed because there are people who are lost and hurt. We prayed because our nation is in turmoil. We prayed because of so many other things. Every one of us knows these things about ourselves, about our families, about our friends, about our nation, and about our world. And there's no way on the planet we can leave them outside the door, nor should we. Bring them into this place and bring them before a God who is so much bigger than we give him credit for. How big is your God? What is the height and the breadth and the depth of not only his love, but his plans and his knowledge and his power? What is he doing? Who is he, this God that is so very difficult to understand? And should we just skip that and focus on our problems? You see, I remember listening to a Charles Stanley sermon probably some 20 or 30 years ago. And I remember him standing in front of his congregation. He's saying, when you put the problem up to your face, all you see is your problem. But when you bring God to your face, you see him so much bigger than the problem that you have, the life that you have. And he becomes to come into more focus. That's magnifying God, making him bigger than your problem. Verse 24 says, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my words and believes him, God, who sent me, has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. Jesus is going to testify about God's testifying of him. Jesus is telling us that God has testified, the Father has testified on Christ's behalf, and that we should believe that. And the reason that that is so important is because the term the Son of Man is the most miraculous thing you will ever hear. And yet we just, We don't understand it. It boggles the mind and we let it pass through. But we were reminded that the Son of Man means God became man. That's what it means. That Jesus Christ was born as a man, but he is from above. That's the most miraculous thing ever. and it's bigger than our minds will ever, ever, ever be able to contemplate. However, it's so important to simply believe, because in that is our power and in that is our hope. Verse 31, if I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. The testimony that Christ is about to tell us, the testimony that we're about to see, comes not from Christ himself, but from the Father, Elohim, the triune God. How big is your God? Isaiah 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. We are a very, very gullible people. People are just gullible. Look at the psychic shops in New York City, especially along Long Island there. Do you know how much it costs a month to have an office in Long Island? $5,000 or more. And yet, they keep propping up. They keep being propped up. This one writer who did an investigation on these shops, and it just so happened that a few weeks ago I happened to tune in on an investigation of these shops and how they were trying to shut them down and how they were going after these people. Is having a psychic shop illegal? Let's read a little bit about this. Since 1967, the act of fortune-telling has been effectively banned in New York State. Wow. Punishable by 90 days in jail or a $500 fine. The definition of a psychic is anyone who makes money off claimed or pretended use of occult powers to answer questions or give advice on personal matters or to exercise influence or affect evil spirits or curses. As a result, psychics must legally present themselves as entertainers with a disclaimer that clarifies the readings shouldn't be taken too seriously. This writer writes, throughout my experiences, I've never once saw that provision, only that our readings were private and confidential. I recounted that conversation over the phone to James Randi, who at 86, produced the documentary An Honest Liar. This is a man who in 1964 introduced the Million Dollar Challenge, in which he agreed to pay any psychic that lump sum if they could prove to him that what they're doing is actually real. That challenge remains active. No one has ever satisfactorily demonstrated supernatural abilities. And yet, $5,000 a month plus. So, of course, he wasn't surprised at all by the lack of explanation. They won't give us their secrets to you, he told me. Psychics specialize in being devious. But if it wasn't some sort of underground mafia-like tactic, he said, that's keeping them in their apartments, it's just simple demand. They're simply, definitely getting clients because they're abundant, he continued. People want things, these forecast of their futures. And when finances are low in the community, that's when psychics flourish. Psychics flourish whenever things are bad, with the economy or during a war, Randi explained. Desperate people who have some money to spend go to a psychic to find out what to invest in. I mean, it's all false information, but psychics love it. That's their territory. It's not only people who go to psychics that are gullible. It's people in general. You know, the Jews were gullible. Jesus said it, that they're relying on Moses instead of God. They're relying on Moses and not what Moses wrote. Later on in John, they're going to say, we have Abraham as our father, and we have the temple and all those things. And God's going to say, but you don't have the Son. You need the Son. Well, we don't understand the Son. We don't understand the Son of Man. What does that mean? And what you tell us it means, it can't mean. This is the issue. Because it's so much bigger than us. It can't be understood. It can't be understood. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, you'll receive him, because they're gullible. If another comes in his own name, you'll receive him. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? Paul will say in 2 Corinthians, when someone comes to you telling about another Jesus whom we didn't tell you about, you're willing to put up with it. When you receive a spirit that is different from the spirit you received earlier, you're also willing to put up with that. When someone tells you good news that is different from the good news you already accepted, you're willing to put up with that too. Have you ever talked to somebody who doesn't get Jesus Christ? I had another one. He was my best friend. I had another one when I was on vacation. I was talking to my best friend when we were in grade school and junior high. And he's a Christian. And you know, it's been decades since I've talked to him. And I started talking to him and I said, you know, we've never had a real theological discussion because we were kids. Let's have one. His eyes kind of glazed over. I said, what do you think about the Lord and Jesus? And he goes to church, I said. Well, I don't think Jesus can be divine. I think that God made him divine, but he wasn't divine. He can't be divine because there's only one God. Well, I understand it. I mean, I understand that confusion. That is the biggest confusion with the Trinity. That's the biggest confusion that Islam has with the Trinity, with God, with our Christian God. Because we don't get it. And I understand we don't get it. But that's what the Bible says. I and the Father are one, making himself equal with God. Look at your bulletin. Equal with God. Nobody can be equal with God. I get it. I understand your confusion. And I'm not even going to try to explain it to you. But we have to take it in faith. That's what the Bible says. Why, in any good sense, would God himself come down as a man and put himself through what he did, being rejected by his own people, the people he created and singled out to glorify himself, honor himself, show the nations who he was? He came to those people and let them kill him. It doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't have to, because his thoughts are above our thoughts. And by the way, it works. Because it gets you to heaven. It gets us to heaven. And people say, that's a cop out. Amen. It's a God out, by the way. I think I told you this once. I remember Barry Maguire, the rock singer, becoming a Christian, and back in the 70s, he said, people say your Jesus is a crutch. You're right. And you need a crutch when you're wounded. Jesus is our crutch. He is our salvation and our hope. You see, men forget they tend to forget that we're dumb, like sheep, And now, once we become Christians, Paul says that we have the mind of Christ, and so we can be smart in God, okay? But without him, we're dumb. Just ask Adam and Eve. Ask Adam and Eve. They had everything going for them. And we forget that they not only stumbled, they sinned and were rebellious. We underestimate the devil. We underestimate the adversary, Satan. And he wants us to get us to think that we're smart and that this cannot make sense, that there's no way this man can be God. And so we have people like we did several weeks ago who were standing at a pool waiting for the angel, so-called angel, to stir the water so he can jump in and get healed. And he's been there for decades. And so Jesus comes there and says, I'm just going to heal you. He didn't even ask for it. He said, get up and walk. And so this man gets up and walk. And what does this man do? He runs to the Jews and said, that's the guy. You hang him. That's the guy. He became a traitor because he was afraid of the Jews. I've had discussions with friends, even Christians who say we look at portions of the Bible and say, we can't understand that. I don't even want to study that. I talked to two families this last week I'll just tell you about what it was. It was about the millennium. It was talking about what we're going to be doing in the millennium and what God promised about the millennium. Things we don't understand about the millennium, but God gives us some indicators and their eyes glazed over. And one of them, who's a preacher, said, I just want to make it simple. Well, why is it in the Bible? Why is it in the scriptures? Why is Isaiah chapter 11, Isaiah chapter 2, and Ezekiel 38 and 39 and others, why is it here? Because God, in fact, why is this here? Because God wants us to know you're not going to understand him. You're just going to witness. You're going to be my witnesses. I want you to witness my glory, he's saying. And when we start to get that, we say, I can't wait to witness. And so we take our problems from out in the world and we take them before him in the closet. We take them before him in this prayer place. We bring them in here and put them before the cross and say, God, I want to see your work. Work in me. And then what happens is it's quiet. We don't hear anything. And maybe something doesn't get answered. And yet, a year later, or 2 years later, you're still in the faith. You're still praising him. That's a miracle in itself. Because if you go to a psychic and he doesn't work, are you going back? Yeah, they go back. But it's the Spirit of God who enlightens us and helps us and says, you know what? I'm not doing the way I'm not doing things the way you are going to think they need to be done or even sometimes expect, because I want you. I wasn't going to tell this morning, but something comes to mind. Me and my brother are hunting. It was near the last day. It was my last day to hunt, near his last day. And this friend had told my brother, hey, there's some bucks up here and it's high and it's tough getting up there, but go up there. So we went and we're up on this ridge on top of this mountain. And just him and I. And out of the blue, his friend shows up. Now, how did he find us? I don't know. But he's behind us. And my brother gets out and goes and talks to him. And they're friends. He works with them. They're always trying to get over on each other. Always trying to play games. And so Clay was being nice to him and said, you know, go in front of us because you told us to come up here, so you go first. But he jumped in the truck and he said, we're going to stay in front of him. And then he did this. He said, we're going to stay in front of him. And then he turned and looked out the window and said, Lord, if there's ever a time that you'll answer a prayer, now's the time. Give me a buck so I can shoot it right in front of Adam. I'm not kidding you, because I'm a witness. Then as soon as he said Adam, as soon as the M was coming out of his mouth, and I'm not kidding you, when the M was coming out of his mouth, a buck leaped over a bush on top of a ridge 25 yards from us. Clay is already in gear, going 20 miles an hour. He slams his company truck into park. And we're dumbfounded. You got to be kidding. Already we're saying, Lord, this is fantastic. And so we get out, and the buck jumps over. Goes around the ridge, and so we get in the truck, and we go around the corner, and we get out, and I get back in the pickup, and I'm watching for it. And all of a sudden, on the other side of the hill where we just came from, bang! And Adam shot the buck. Don't tell me God doesn't play with our minds. Don't tell me God is not big. Don't tell me that God doesn't care. My brother said after that, I didn't get the blessing. We all got the blessing. If God would have gave it to him, he said, thank you, Lord, and it's all about Clayton. And Clay, and God's saying, I'm going to make it about you all. That's what I believe. Because we all got the blessing. It's all about God and his love for us. And the way he had to do that was to come himself in a person that is so difficult to understand and so much bigger to understand. He's so much bigger. So Jesus said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. Now, a couple things here are very important. Number one, why does Jesus talk this way if he's talking about the Father, somebody else? Because he's saying that there is a headship of order. There is a Father. There is a will to be done. And Jesus is going to do it. And that Jesus came, the second person of the Trinity, came stepping out of his realm and came to do what the Father had planned. And not only that, what the deity had planned, what the triune God had planned. Where in the Bible does it talk about, in the beginning, this God, Elohim, triune God? John 1:1, in the beginning, God. Genesis 1:26, let us make man. In Genesis 3:22, the man has now become like us. Genesis 11:7, let us go down. He is not talking to the angels. He is talking about this triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and that they, within that the triune God, have order. And Jesus is saying that the triune God has said, go down there and save these men and honor me. And so the Father, so when Jesus came, he said, I'm going to honor what the triune God, what the Father has willed. And he's showing us that that is obedience. That's true obedience. And it's because of his obedience that everything will be carried out in Revelation. He will be handed everything back to him. In fact, we find out that all judgment and everything has already been given back to him. Now look at the last verse. And greater works than these will he show him. So Jesus will do greater works, so that you may marvel. Now right there, he's saying, I want you to marvel about all of these works. Why? Because he wants you to ponder them, and they point you to God. Look how magnificent this is. How can anybody say a whole sentence And the buck jumped out on the letter M. That's minor. But all of these works God is going to do so that we will marvel. But now watch this. Verse 26 through 28. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this. Why? Why not marvel at this? I want to ponder that. Because you're not going to get it. It doesn't make any sense. We're never going to be able to explain it. We need to witness it. We need to believe it. We need to teach it. But we're never, ever going to understand it. And I believe this side of heaven. He says, don't marvel at this because you'll get lost in it. The logic is never, ever going to work itself out. Look, the Father has life. The Son has life. And he has given him authority. So God is the judge. In the Old Testament, God is the judge. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ is the judge. The Son is the judge. He is the Father incarnate. He's doing exactly what the Father's doing. And I'm talking to so-called other Christians, and that doesn't make any sense. And I want to say, praise the Lord, you're halfway there. Now just believe in faith. And then what I do is say, Lord, give that man a miracle, because that he can ponder. Give that man a miracle so that he can wonder and say, that is of God. I don't understand the triune God. I don't understand the Son of Man, but I'm going to follow him. His ways are above mine, but I'm going to follow him. The first alternative, one commentary writes, a person may decide to reject this revelation because it doesn't make sense to him. Such a rejection would diminish or completely erase the authority of the Word of God in his mind. He may as well just go out, eat, drink, and live and let live. Because if he rejects it, it's over. Second, he could try to reason it out. He can reword it. he can illustrate it like a clover. He could try to resolve the paradox. In this case, the issue is skirted by minimizing certain scriptures or avoiding a certain collision with the implications of the biblical data at this point. The third alternative is to acknowledge that no analogies or illustrations will resolve the puzzle, and that the complete authority of the Word of God must be recognized, no matter how difficult some of its implications may be. All the biblical data is accepted by faith. So that when you go to your friends, so that when somebody wants to argue over this, so that when some cult tries to talk you out of Christianity and Jesus Christ, you say to them, just like Billy Graham said, I have chosen this path by faith. I don't get it all, but this life is by faith. And in fact, Jesus said, I'm not going to understand it all. The Bible says his ways are above my ways. And I want him to be there, because if he isn't, then God is bigger than no one. If we can figure him out, then he isn't God. And so when you have a problem, when somebody brings you something, when you're going to pray with somebody, you say, I know somebody who is bigger than me. I know somebody that is bigger than your life. Your problem. He has heaven and eternity in store for you. Let's go to him. Now we can ask him for him to solve the problem. We can ask him to fix it. What I like to pray is this. And when I'm at the servant's heart with people I don't know, I always try to say this. Lord, at some point when you get their attention, when they begin to marvel at what you've done, may they remember you. I don't get it. But thank you, God, that you're bigger than me. It's not only intellectual satisfaction. It's not about intellectual satisfaction. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ, the person we cannot fully understand and yet have complete faith in. That's not gullible. That's a crutch. And we need a crutch, and that is Jesus Christ. How big is your God? Don't let anybody dumb down your God. He is bigger than we will ever realize, and he must be, or he isn't God. Like Father, like Son. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Do you realize that God shares his glory with no one? Absolutely no one. Isaiah 42:8, I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other. And yet, the Son is to be honored. And don't we come here Sunday mornings and just lift our voices to the Son? Because God has decided to reveal himself within this man, Son of Man, the real miracle, the real wonder of Christianity is Jesus Christ, the Son of Man. This is our God. For God has done what the law, weakened by the flesh, could not do, by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. As for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. Philippians 2:7, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in human likeness. No way that cannot be the Son. That cannot be Jesus Christ. All the other cults of the world want to. In fact, the Son ends up killing the Father in many ways because the Son has to outperform and outdo the Father. And the Lord humbles his Son. He humbled himself and came down. Therefore, since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity. The apple does not fall far from the tree. You've heard that. Here, the apple is the tree. Jesus Christ is God. Verse 30, I can do nothing on my own. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. If I alone bear witness about myself, my testimony is not true. There is another who bears witness about me, and I know that the testimony that he bears about me is true. That is the Father. So here's what the Son and the Father look like. My Father is working until now, and I'm working. I do what my he sees the Father doing. Verse 21, as the Father raises the dead and gives life, so also the Son gives life. Verse 22, for the Father judges no one, but has given all the Son judgment to the Son. He has given him authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Finally, we'll end with one last verse. 2 Peter says this, and count the patience of our Lord as salvation, just as our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, as he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do other scriptures. You, therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I challenge you to read both letters of Peter. Peter tells you to add to faith wisdom and wisdom knowledge, and he'll say, I'm going to remind you seven times over and all of these things. He wants us to grow in the grace and the knowledge. While we can't understand some of these things, they are hard to understand, as Paul's letters are and many other things. It doesn't keep us, nor should keep us, from trying to understand. We dig into the word and say, okay, God, because when we come to that point where we don't understand, we're reminded, okay, God, there you are again, bigger than you were before. Bigger than you were before I started this study. Bigger than you were before I started this prayer and laying this life and this burden before you. Because you need him that big, because he is, and much bigger. Let's pray. Lord, we worship you. We worship the God that you are, and we worship you, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, Emmanuel, God with us, and we worship you, the Holy Spirit, who comes and lives in each one of us, these jars of clay, another fantastic, marvelous wonder that we don't get, and yet we thank you for it. We worship you for it. And I pray for every person here that their feet are steadfast in this good news, that they are not led astray by some simple, minute God or gospel, so-called. But this is the good news that you sent. In fact, you came as a son and gave us life everlasting, in Jesus' name. Amen.